Okay.
Hello, sir.
Well, Susan, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good.
Hey, I open up the House Education Committee for February 5th, 2016. Okay, we've got work sessions and some hearings today, and so I think we're going to start out right away. We are going to have, I'd like to open up a public hearing on House Bill 4057, Representative Wiseman. Richard's going to read what the bill is.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 4057 directs the Department of Education to prepare a report related to the educational performance of students from families in poverty. Declares an emergency effective on passage. The committee has been asked to consider the Dash 1 amendments, which are available on OLIS.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair and honorable committee members. For the record, I'm Gene Wiseman, House Representative, House District, State Representative, House District 53. I'm glad to bring you House Bill 4057 today with a dash one. This bill is chief sponsored by myself, Representative Joe Gallegos, and Representative Sherry Springer. And because of time limit, we weren't able to get Senator Haas, but he has indicated he would be supporting it. We've talked to this committee before on this bill. It was a product, or came out of, the House Bill 2968 work group report, which you received at the last interim committee meeting we had. And today I'm presenting an amendment, the dash one, to House Bill 4057, which is a product of a meeting held last Tuesday afternoon with many members of the House Bill 2968 work group. And Morgan Allen with the Oregon School Board Association agreed to work with Hannah Lathe from Legislative Council to draft the Dash 1, which you have today. I want to thank all who worked on the amendment for their time and suggestions to produce this amendment. As all legislative products through this chamber, it's a product of negotiation and a lot of compromise by the good representative. With the intention of assisting school districts help students from poverty families achieve education success. And Morgan has agreed to walk through the changes and be sure everyone understands, because he spent a lot of time, and I appreciate that very much, with LC to rework, to put in writing what the work group or the meeting group came up with. So thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be available. I'll stay through as Morgan goes through it for questions, too. But
yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Morgan Allen here on behalf of the Oregon School Boards Association. And appreciate Representative Wiseman and the group. And Tuesday seems like so long ago, but the days go by quickly here. We did have about a dozen people get together and talk about, I think, a shared vision for getting information about what school districts are doing to improve educational outcomes for students in poverty. And I think, you know, one of the original hangups, we had this hangup in the work group, and as we looked at different bill drafts, the biggest concern was data collection and creating ongoing reports and things like that. You hear that quite a bit here at the Capitol. And so the compromise, what we've agreed to do is give the Department of Education and the Chief Education Office the authority to essentially ask districts to provide a narrative, and the Department of Ed would create a survey, a one-time survey, to ask districts the types of programs they have in place to impact and improve achievement outcomes for students of poverty. So summer programs, after school programs, you know, what types of investments are you making? If you have investment numbers or costs available, please provide those. The department's empowered to sort of compile those in a report that would also include information about how much each school district receives from the state school fund in poverty weighting. As you all know, students in poverty get an additional quarter weight in the state school fund. So we'd have information about how much money districts are getting, what they're doing. It would also give districts an opportunity to talk about things they'd like to do and how much those may cost. And the idea would be that the report would provide impetus for potential policy changes and bills in the 2017 session. It would empower the Department of Education to make recommendations to the legislature about any further data collections or reporting mechanisms based on what they get back in this first round of districts. And so it's a very good compromise. We believe it's important to provide this information to the legislature. And so I think I can safely say all the education groups, plus a lot of the other stakeholders from community-based organizations, Stand for Children and other folks, were part of that. And we have a good amendment. And I would certainly be happy to answer any questions about it.
Thank you. Any questions to the panel? Representative Frederick.
Thank you. I want to thank you for doing this. What you were talking about was the intent of a bill that we passed in the 2013 session. That was, frankly, given very... It was not detailed from the Department of Education, and I'm hoping that you're going to be able to get good information from them this time, from them and from the districts this time. So I want to thank you to do that. The other aspect is let's get as detailed as we possibly can on the programs themselves, what kids they are addressing, how they're addressing those particular youngsters as much as you can. You don't want to have to go in and try to get each school or something like that, but you do need to have some sense of things. This is important because we know that the biggest determinant on how kids are doing in school is their zip code and what the poverty level is in that zip code. So thank you for doing this, and I'm looking forward to the report.
Madam Chair and Representative Frederickson, hope you'll sign on the bill, because I think it's a good first step in trying to achieve all that is what I think everyone wants. And so it is going to give example of what people are doing, and the Department of Education will have that available so other schools can see what other schools are doing and what's working. So it'll hopefully help everyone, all school districts, look at these programs that are succeeding. That was one of the objectives we had. And we'll see how you and I can work together to see what we can get for the next session with all the good help that we had on this bill.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for the representative? Okay, thank you very much. Next we have Persa, Janet Ahrens, and Joel Fisher. Start out first.
Good afternoon, Chair Doherty and members of the House Education Committee. For the record, my name is Parisa Chanrami from Stanford Children, here to speak in favor of House Bill 4057 with the -1 amendments. As a member of the Poverty Work Group, I want to first express how grateful I am to be able to take part in that work group and also show a lot of gratitude for the staff at the Chief Education Office who helped put together this really extensive Poverty Work Group report, capturing all the different recommendations, and we really appreciate that. And we also want to thank Representative Wisnat for all of his leadership and stakeholder engagement on this bill, as well as this amendment. We encourage you to adopt the amendments, -1, because it would help our state and local districts learn more about how each district is spending their additional poverty weight dollars. Plus, you know, what we're spending on best practices, promising programs and strategies that work to improve outcomes for students impacted by poverty. Through these narrative reports, we'll be able to glean that district-level information on what's working, what the implementation costs are, and what additional needs still need to be met in order to better serve our students impacted by poverty. We believe that the information from these reports will be valuable in helping stakeholders at the state, the district, and the local level. I think it's helpful for parents and community members as well, so that we can see and also reflect and share on, you know, where we're making the investments, what's making a difference, so that we can do better for our students. With that, thank you again for your time.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. My name is Janet Ahrens. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Alliance of Children's Programs, and happy to be here today on this bill. We represent about $235 million worth of programs and services for children, and that's about 100,000 children whose lives we touch every year. And every one of those kids goes to school. And many of the children that we interact with come from poverty-struck homes and communities. So this is really important to us, and we really, really appreciate what Representative Wisnant is trying to do here. We did a summit in Central Oregon called Poverty's Power around the 50th anniversary of LBJ's war on poverty, and part in celebration of that and wanting to take another look at our world and how we're doing. And he spent 2 days with us there hearing lots and lots and lots of information on this. And that's not the first investment that he's made in trying to understand poverty and its impact on kids. So this seeing this work continue to come forward, these ideas continuing to come forward, is really important to us. So we want to thank him for that. And as you just spoke so eloquently to, having all the negotiations on the original bill last session, bringing it to the poverty work group that the Alliance was able to participate in and bring a provider perspective to, and then being able to sit in front of you today on this is very hopeful. The information we believe that's going to come out of this is transferable. We think that there are other people that can look at it. I'm thrilled they're going to put it on the website and not just hand out paper mm-hmm. copies, so that folks like ourselves, who also have education services that we deliver through our programs, and other folks and other people who are working on graduation initiatives, absenteeism initiatives, will have these strategies and ideas and programs available to them to study and use as well. So thank you, and I'm looking forward to your support.
Okay, thank you.
Chair Doherty, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Joel Fisher on behalf of Oregon Business Association. We're a statewide association representing over 300 businesses all across Oregon, both big and small. Not to beat a dead horse, remind you some of the bigger context of which you guys are all aware of state goals such as 40-40-20, wanting to close achievement gaps, and really at the heart of that, providing an opportunity for every child in Oregon to succeed. You can't make good decisions without really good data, and that's what this bill helps us do. So we're here to urge you to support the Dash One amendments and support this bill. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions of the panelists? Representative Reardon.
And, excuse me. Thank you for doing this and your work, and I'm really supportive of it. But I just have a kind of a technical question. I've got kind of a marketing background, so I know that it's really important how you ask a question. And so, can you talk a little bit about, are you designing, are they going to be like open-ended questions that are, hey, tell us everything wonderful you're doing to help kids in poverty, or will it be more focused and asking specific questions so you get responses that can be compared across the districts? Mm-hmm. So how much design work is going into this? Because there's a difference between sort of a focus group, which where you learn what questions are important versus knowing what the questions are and being able to compare answers,
right,
if that
right.
makes sense.
I would assume Mr. Allen's going to be.
Thank you, Chair Doherty and Representative Reardon. I think we discussed both in the work group, Morgan Allen with the Oregon School Boards Association. What we're modeling this after is the Department of Education recently did a survey about, I believe it was graduation rates. There was a bill Representative Taylor put last session. And so the idea would be you'd have some fixed questions, and I think the idea would be we'd circulate those amongst the work group and sort of say, are these the types of questions we want to ask? Like, do you have a summer program? Do you have, you know, after-school programs? Do you have early literacy programs? But we also want some open-ended questions
Correct.
As well. So
mm-hmm.
it would be some fixed sort of menu options. Do you do X, Y, and Z?
Okay.
You know, how much are you spending on those? And then opportunities for districts to sort of fill in the blanks with more open-ended questions and describe practices or programs as well.
Okay. That was the great. That's kind of hoping you would say that. But.
Yeah, Mr. Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I want to follow up on Representative Reardon's asking here, because I think he brings up, a great point. And this probably comes from my years on the Ways and Means Subcommittee and the process there. And people ask me all the time, what's that like? And I said, people come in all the time and they tell me about the good stuff they're doing in their good program. I hope this conversation is beyond, we're doing great things in our school, and this is what those great things are. And we're doing great things, and we've achieved these measurable results. And I hope that we're looking at that, because I have never, ever seen anybody come forward and tell me about their bad program. So I want to hear what is actually gaining results.
Very, very valid question, very fair point, Representative Springer. Within the amendment, you'll see there's language that allows districts, we want to know what would you do or what could you be doing or what aren't you doing and what types of investments or programs, you know, would you be interested in doing that you don't have the capacity to do. Mm-hmm. So we want to have that opportunity for districts to sort of put that out as well.
Right. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, follow-up. Yes, brief follow-up. If I'm cranky today, I apologize.
It's Friday.
I want some numbers. I want to know, okay, we're doing this and it works, and we could also do this. I want some evidence that some things are working.
Thank you.
Help without it.
Yeah. Any other questions?
That's only fair to kids. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay,
is that it? Okay, that is the end of the panel. Anyone else like to speak on this bill? Okay, if not, I close the public hearing on House Bill 4057. And we're going to actually now open work sessions on the three bills that we're having. But before we do that, the smoky smell in here is not coming out of our ears. There's a fire someplace in South Salem, and so it's waffling in. But no, just wait for a couple of weeks to come out of our ears. Okay, I would like to open up a work session on House Bill 4031. And as we do that, if Mr. Riggs could come up, and then we'll have Richard read what the bill. Richard, if you could read what the bill is.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 4031 directs the Chief Education Office to design and implement pilot programs to decrease rates of school absenteeism and sunsets those programs. It appropriates money to do so. The committee heard this bill this past Wednesday, and the bill contains a subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Riggs wanted to add something for the record.
Sure, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Doug Riggs on behalf of the Alliance for Kids, which, as you recall, is a coalition of groups working on absenteeism, graduation rates over the last 18 to 24 months. I did forward some information to the committee, and I've spoken to a number of you, and I think some of the questions raised the other day were really important, so I wanted to cover a couple of them. First of all, we have made a commitment with some of the groups in the building that we're going to clarify that school nurses, school counselors, psychologists and clinical psychologists in the schools are expected to be involved to the extent that the school district determines that they should be involved. So we're going to commit to that, work with Ways and Means on some language as well, so when that gets to Ways and Means. Second thing I think was really important, I mentioned this a little bit during the committee hearing, but we do not see this as a one-size-fits-all approach. This is a set of pilot projects that we hope will gather information from urban districts, urban areas, from rural areas, schools with lots of resources, schools with fewer resources. And to that extent, I want to make sure that I commit to members of the committee that if you have a school district in your area that is interested in integrating, networking, looking for partners for a proposal for RFP, we stand ready to help in any way, shape, or form that we can. I think the benefit of this is that if we get to the end of the three-year process and we have a variety of pilot projects in a variety of districts that have taken place, and we can say, here's what works in Baker City, here's what works in Bend, here's what works in Burns, you know, wherever. So we have a variety of different experiences, and that I think will really educate us coming into 2019 about what would be the best path to take. So I just want to personally commit that we, all of us at the Alliance and all of the programs that work together, will be at your beck and call and happy to work with you and your districts on this effort.
Okay, thank you. Representative Springer?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe it is the smoke in here.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate that, Doug, because I know that we've talked offline about that and my concerns that I mentioned in earlier in the week when we heard this bill was that the language really infers that you're looking at districts with resources that can implement, and the very districts that need this support. They all do, but the very districts that really need support don't have the resources to position themselves to receive the support, which makes no sense to me. And so I appreciate hearing that. I just want to be really clear. I'm going to support this today, and I'm actually happy about this bill after I've chewed on it for a few days for a couple reasons. Money and resources go directly into the buildings right away. I like that. The second thing is... because of our conversations and the creative ways, the very legitimate yet creative ways that communities and schools can bring to bear what looks to be some criteria here to be eligible for those supports, as long as there's lots of support for that, and those districts are resourced to be able to do that, I can support this and actually be enthusiastic about it.
And Madam Chair, Madam Vice Chair, I just want to add, we got enormous attention and amounts of interest when we held our conferences. We had over 500 participants in three conferences, and those participants came from all walks of life. We had CCO participants coming up from Southern Oregon. We had hospital executives. We had education officials, school district counselors. So I really think that if this program goes into effect, what we're going to see is the communities coming in and saying, how can we work with the teachers and the schools to make something like this work? So I'm really confident that if there's a pilot project out there, there's an opportunity that we can come into your district or anyone's district, and we will find participants in the community who want to help. Because everyone recognizes the impact of absenteeism, yes, and the lack of graduation rates, the impact on health care and workforce development and community corrections and everything else. So I think you'll find very enthusiastic support.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Riggs. Okay, Representative.
I get to read something.
Yep, you're on.
Chair Doherty, I move House Bill 4031 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
What did he say? 4031?
It's 4031.
Oh, okay.
4031.
Yes. Representative Frederick moves House Bill 4031 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? Okay, no objection. Could you call the roll, please?
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative
Wayne?
Aye.
Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative Lusa?
Aye.
Representative Reardon?
Yes, aye.
Sure.
One of those.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick?
Yes.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
And Chair Doherty?
Aye. Okay, with that, motion passes. I will carry this on the floor. We don't have to do this. We're going to Ways and Means. Never mind. Okay, so with that, I close the work session on House Bill 4031, and I open up a work session on House Bill 4002.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 4002. Directs the Department of Education to develop and implement a statewide education plan to address chronic absences of students in public schools. It declares an emergency effective on passage. The committee also heard this bill this past Wednesday, and this bill also contains a subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay. I'm ready to do this, okay? Chair Doherty, I move House Bill 4002 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves House Bill 4002 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so as I look at this bill and the fiscal impact statement, which just can't be done at this time, and I can understand why. So we just passed 4031, which I really like that. Now that I understand it, I really like that. This is money that's going to go to ODE. And that ODE is not a bad place, but I want to put money in classrooms. So I'll probably end up on a yes on the floor. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but today I'm a no. We're doing two parallel absenteeism programs. Mm-hmm. And when we already have pilot projects that we can launch pretty readily. So at this point, I'm going to be a no on the bill.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? Representative McLean.
Well, I had looked at both of these two for a sort of similar reasons that were just discussed by the representative, and I really respect her comments. I've decided I am going to vote for both of them, and I'm going to vote for both of them because I think they help us have a bigger toolbox with more tools for helping with absenteeism. Mm-hmm. I don't think that I think they complement each other. I don't think they are redundant. We're taking a tool out with a pilot project and testing it, and we're also going over in a comprehensive way what is really out there so that we can understand the inventory and possibly pass on information that can be used by everyone. So and from my vote, I've decided that this is worthy of a committee vote for me, and that I'll go forward with a yes.
Okay, fine. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We've got three bills in front of us that involve, well, let me take it from the top. One bill involves the Department of Education, Department of Human Services, Oregon Health Authority. The next bill, Chief Education Officer, or Office, rather, OHA, in the Department of Ed. Our third bill, Department of Ed, Chief Education Office. You know, I know we have a problem with absenteeism. We all know that. But Department of Education is going to be really busy. I don't know what they do on a regular basis. A lot, I'm sure. But they're going to have plenty to do here. And I just hope there's some accountability along the way, because in many ways it just seems like we are very well-meaning, but throwing a ton of stuff against the wall to see what sticks. I have no idea what's coming over from the Senate. I mean, they could be doing the very same thing. I have no idea how this is going to shake out. I get a little skeptical when I see all of this kind of stuff coming forward. I just hope it culminates in something that really, truly affects a terrible problem that we have in the state. I see us throwing a lot of bureaucracy at it. I'm just hoping it turns out well.
Okay, thank you. We are the accountability, and trust me, they will be accountable. So anyway, any other comments? Okay, any other discussion? Is there any objection? We kind of had one. And so with with Michael, could you read the roll, please?
Representative Hack?
Aye.
Representative McClain?
Aye.
Representative Peluso?
Aye.
Representative Reardon?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
No.
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick?
Yes.
Vice Chair Springer?
No.
Chair Doherty?
Aye. Okay, with that, motion passes. Excuse me, I close the work session on House Bill 4002 and open up a work session on House Bill 4099.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 4099, the committee also heard this past Wednesday. It delays the requirement that school districts must implement child sexual abuse prevention instructional programs for students in kindergarten through grade 12 until July 1, 2017, and it directs the Department of Ed to conduct a study on the implementation of those requirements. Declares an emergency, effective on passage.
Okay, thank you. Representative Frederick.
Chair Doherty, I move that House Bill 4099 to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves House Bill 4099 to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none, is there any objection? Okay, Michael, read the roll, please.
Representative McClain?
Aye.
Representative Peluso?
Aye.
Representative Reardon?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Hack?
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick?
Yes.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
And Chair Doherty?
Aye. Okay, with that, the motion passes. Don't do that.
Sorry.
I'm not going to adjourn yet. I'm just, the motion passes. We will sign Rep. Leininger and Rep. Johnson as carriers on this one. Those are their bills. Okay, with that, I close the work session on House Bill 4099 and open up a public hearing on House Bill 4033. Representative Frederick.
Thank you. I'm going to go on down over there.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 4033 specifies that monies may be distributed under the Network of Quality Teaching and Learning for purposes of advancing the Educators Equity Act, improving cultural competence of educators, and ensuring educators are trained in culturally relevant educational practices. The measure declares an emergency, effective on passage.
Okay, thank you. Representative Frederick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have a reality that students feel better about learning if they feel that the teachers are comfortable with them in terms of their culture. I'm going to suggest a couple of names to you and see if you recognize them. George P. Riley is one. Bob Diaz. Let me get some couple of the others here. Just a second. Rob Robinson. And Marcus, where is he? Just a second. McCant Stewart. Any of those names sound familiar to you?
Yes.
Well, you don't count. I'm sorry. These are all Oregonians that contributed a great deal to the state. I was touring the Oregon Historical Society several years ago, and I came upon this one poster that says, George P. Riley, the eloquent colored speaker, will speak at Philharmonic Hall Tuesday evening, April 26, 1870. Subject, the colored citizen and the ballot. What will he do with it? A review of the past and present, the ballot and a glimpse of our future position. And the admission was 50 cents, so that was a pretty good amount there.
Yeah, pretty high. Yeah.
McCant Stewart was the first attorney, black attorney, to come to Oregon in 1902. Let's see, there's another person here. George Riley, actually, he and his team of folks bought land in Oregon and in Washington and managed to hang on to it, something that was not expected. Robert Diaz was the Tuskegee Airman, who was the poster child for the Tuskegee Airmen at one time, and he was from Southeast Portland. And since we are coming up on Super Bowl weekend, Bob Robinson was the first African-American to play quarterback for a major white college, and he played for the University of Oregon. That was, by the way, just so that you have a date on that, it was in 1926. A lot of kids don't know about this, and not just the black kids. Frankly, the white kids are the ones who need it more than anything else. But they also need to have a sense of the culture that they're working with. And it is important, the whole culture, the culture of Oregon. One of the things we have right now is we're trying to do a great deal of effort. And there's some written testimony on the record, and I didn't introduce myself. I'm sorry. I'm Lou Frederick, State Representative, House District 43, North and Northeast Portland. There's written testimony on the record, and we'll have some testimony today from some really incredible professionals who've grown as a result of the kind of professional development that will be supported by this bill, and from a professional who designs and provides these opportunities for educators to become better at their craft in the area of culturally relevant pedagogy for students who do not come from a background of immersion in the dominant culture. The state of Oregon has long recognized this need and has approached it from both the standpoint of increasing the number of minority educators in our schools and from the standpoint of developing richer cultural awareness and sophistication among all educators. Unfortunately, the investment has not always followed the aspirations. This bill is simply about putting some of our money where our mouth is on this issue. I want to point you to written testimony provided by my friend Dr. Patrick Burke of the PSU School of Education and posted in our meeting materials. Dr. Burke is not just an academic. He was also a significant and very successful principal in the Portland schools on a number of different schools and a range of economic levels. His analysis of the need and the potential benefit from this bill brings it all together very well. So I would encourage you to look on OLIS and read his letter. I obviously want to urge you to give this bill a due pass recommendation, and I am more than willing to let everyone see this book of African Americans of Portland. I think we give you a sense of what actually is taking place, because we have on a regular basis been told that the only history that we have is related to slavery. It is not. We have contributions that are important, and every kid in Oregon should know about those contributions of African Americans, of Chinese, of Latino folks, of Asian Americans, of all sorts of Native Americans, certainly. And we need to show that. So this is an attempt to try to really make sure that our kids are, in fact, really good citizens, because they know where they are and who they are. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions of Representative Frederick? Okay, thank you. Okay, the panel we have Karanja Cruz, Diana Bustos, and Kevin Walker.
Excuse me.
Going around. Okay, whoever wants to start, and make sure you identify yourself for the record.
Hello. This is my first time doing this, but hello, Chair Doherty, members of the committee.
I'm Diana Corinne Bustos. I reside in Portland, Oregon, and it is both a great honor and also from a place of deep concern that I'm before you today. I'm an artist and educator here in the Portland area. I've worked in early education settings. I also work in the Sun Schools as a part of Latino Network. And mostly, I am an active participant in the Teaching with Purpose Conference and with the work of Mr. Cruz. I am in full support of Bill 4033 because as a budding professional in my art and in my field, I believe it is both important that we have a practice and a method by which we can contextualize and understand the communities that we serve. Being both a woman of color and an artist, I believe in the power of creation, and it's very difficult to sometimes see the green on the other side when we've been living in a world of black and white for so long. As an artist on this journey, I believe that in succession with the Educational Equity Act, that this bill will also codify your support for our work. We deserve to know that our state and our government will fiscally back our efforts that we've worked so hard, and you worked so hard to do. And as an educator, this conference and the leadership opportunities have given me both a vocabulary, language, and a pedagogy by which I can really be active in my community. I don't want to burn out, and I don't want to find another job because I love what I do, and I love working with children. And I really hope that your support and the wisdom of your leadership can support us in this process. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. We'll wait till you all finish if we have questions.
Great. Thank you, Chair Doherty. It's a pleasure to be here, members of the committee. My name is Kevin Walker. I am currently a sixth grade teacher at a school in Northeast Portland, Fabian School. I am an administrative principal intern at that school as well, working on my master's in leadership and policy. And I would benefited greatly this past year from attending the Teach with a Purpose conference that Mr. Cruz puts on. It was phenomenal. So, disparities in our education system are apparent when you look at the numbers. Sometimes you call them achievement gaps. Sometimes you call them opportunity gaps. But the disparities exist between upper and lower class students and students differing in racial, ethnic, and cultural backgrounds. And as a group, Black and Latino students have not performed as well on many standardized tests as of academic achievement as their white counterparts. It just hasn't happened. Today, I want to talk to you about my sixth grade class that I currently teach right now. A class of 21 students, array of different cultural, ethnic, and socioeconomic backgrounds. A class that benefits every day from the power of culturally responsive teaching, knowledge gain through the Teach with a Purpose conference, and the study of culturally relevant practices. We're a class that values not only our own cultures, but the cultures of every student in the classroom. And we draw on each other, and we incorporate each other's values and beliefs, and we challenge each other, which makes the classroom more rich as a whole. We look at the cultural and linguistic diversity of our classroom not as a weakness, but as a strength that we can draw on. So, these, along with a multitude of other culturally responsive practices, have allowed not only my students to feel success, but me to feel successful as an educator for my students. And these successes, they build on each other, and they turn into students who are free thinkers and college graduates and productive members of society. The dropout rates for students of color are way too high. How many more kids have to feel unsuccessful? How many more need to feel like they can't do school for us to change the way we approach the teaching of our diverse students? The Teach with a Purpose conference, it provides the professional development
that teachers and educators need to be able to build the relationships, meaningful relationships with their students. And it allows me to feel like I can do what I was hired to do, which is teach every single student who walks through my door. So I humbly ask for a pass on 4033, not for me, but for the students who in my classroom can't be here to ask you the same thing. And we talked about the bill before I came, and they know that I'm here doing this, and they are all in support of it. We've broken it all down. It's a lovely thing. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. You're their teacher. They have to.
No. Yeah.
But they would. Thank you. Mr. Cruz.
Madam Chair, Vice Chair, for the record, my name is Karanja Cruz, director of the Teaching with Purpose Conference. And I just want to state, I had a whole speech, but I just want to kind of freestyle for a little bit here and speak from the heart.
And Karanja, you can sit back. That's a real sensitive mic, and you've got a nice, gorgeous voice.
So, Teaching with Purpose is not just a conference, but it's a culturally relevant teaching practice. I've been a teacher for 12 years, and I started my first 6 years in the Beaverton School District, and that's an all-white, affluent elementary school that I taught in. Now, being an African-American male teacher who actually represents 0.5 here in Oregon, 0.5 African-American male educators in Oregon, 1% in the nation. And here I am teaching in an affluent, all-white community in Beaverton School District. And I had one of the best experiences of my life. The reason why is because I was able to build relationships with my students. I had to be culturally relevant in my own practice, right? And the way I did that is I developed relationships with my students, with their families, and with the community. Now, culturally relevant teaching practice, that's what we need in every single community. So it's not just communities of color, but it's throughout the state of Oregon. We all need to be aware. I'm glad I just learned something, Representative Frederick, from your speech. I didn't know a lot of that history. So I learned something today, so thank you for that. So I want to speak from the heart, stating that I urge you to pass this bill and to recognize that it's just not for communities of color, but it's for the whole state of Oregon. We all have to be able to be culturally relevant in our lens so we can crush stereotypes. I believe a lot of my students may have stereotypes before I stepped into that classroom. They probably never seen an African-American male. They probably only seen him on TV. But me being their teacher and able to empower them and to build relationship with them and teach them about histories that they probably would not be exposed to throughout their schooling was a great experience. So I want you guys to kind of have a different lens about it's not just for communities of color, but it's for the whole state of Oregon, that we all need to be culturally relevant in our practice. Now, this particular bill will help us be more intentional about the work. A lot of times we hear the name culturally relevant pedagogy, culturally relevant practice, and it gets kind of muddled within other types of policies and things in that nature. But this particular policy allows us to be more intentional about the work. We can focus on it. And then we can also herd accountability, herd reporting, herd outcomes. So we can create a system where we can have accountability factor. We can have reporting factor, and we can measure outcomes and how teachers relate to their students by allowing students to have that voice, allow them to be able to talk to us and talk to their teachers or administrators or even their representatives and senators about their experience in the classroom. So I want you guys to, again, I urge you to have a different lens, because I believe we have all these different types of boxes that we can put culturally relevant pedagogy practice in. But I want you to look at it in a lens that is for all students throughout the state of Oregon. Mm-hmm. So thank you for this time, and I'll open it up for questions if you guys have
any. Thank you. Are there any questions, Representative?
I don't have a question. I just want to stand up and cheer. You know, I just loved all of you and everything you had to say, and I was a teacher for 42 years, but I have to have you hear this one story of a stereotype. My youngest daughter is biracial, and she's adopted. And she came home from second grade, and she said, "Mom, why does everybody think I know how to speak Spanish?" You know, and I said, "Well, honey, they just think you probably are capable of speaking two languages, you know. But I mean, we were dealing, you know, with a lot of that stereotypical kinds of things. And I thank you. I'm voting yes. So,
okay. Any other comments, Mr. Representative Reardon?
First of all, thank you for this. I think it's really, really important work. Over 20 years ago, I was on David Douglas School Board, and we were trying to get answers to this very question. So I hope you do better than we did. But how do we get more people that are aware of more competencies? Anyway, it's a big effort. As far as the bill goes, it's unclear to me exactly what we're doing. So is this funding Teach with a Purpose? Are there other programs? I've received, back in the olden days when I was a teacher, I got some training from a lady that came around and worked with teachers on workshop days. And so I'm just not clear what we're doing here.
Well, there are a number of programs, but there are two that are specific that we know are working really well: Teaching with Purpose, and then the culturally competency program at Eastern Oregon in LaGrand. Is also that both of those are doing very well, and we want to provide some stability to the fact that we have these programs and not just continually wait every year to try to deal with them. We know that they're working. We need to that the idea behind this bill is to provide that stability, and so there are others that may come up, but they need to be able to show that they're being successful.
Richard.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Representative Reardon, Representative Frederick's covered the policy, but in terms of what the actual bill does, the last session, House Bill 3375 revised the Minority Teacher Act of 1991, enlisted goals in statute, and created the Educator Equity Act. In the session prior in 2013, this legislature created the Network of Quality Teaching and Learning,
right,
which distributes the funds. The NQTL funding has goals enlisted in statute for which it can distribute money. This puts the tenets of the Educator Equity Act, it lists them as things that can be distributed within money and purposes that can be met under the NQTL. So it's a statutory alignment.
Good job.
Okay.
Any other comments, questions?
I think mine is now very brief. I just want to point a clarification, I think, because I was looking at the bill, and really the bill only has two lines, three different places that are changed. It adds the advanced purposes of the Educators Equity Act to improve the cultural competence of educators and ensure educators are trained in culturally relevant educational practices. And then, of course, we're talking about the Network of Quality Teaching. This is just for conferences like this. This is just allowing access to funds.
Yes.
That's what this is. Done. It just allows access to those funds.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments? I have one comment, and I didn't realize back in the – I mean, I taught back in the olden days before none of you were born. And
uniform.
I know. You were, but you're much older than I am. But anyway,
you thought I was
– So when I taught English, I had a poetry unit. I loved teaching poetry, so I would go through and I would read poems. And I read a poem from William Butler Yeats and from Langston Hughes and from James Weldon Johnson. And then I would have the kids go out and research these people. These poets, and they would come back and they go, Miss Berggren, two of them are black. And I go, yes, they are. And I said, was there any difference in their poetry when I read it to you? And their answer was no. It was all well written, beautiful poetry that got the point across. So I guess it was multicultural before we knew what it was. And then also another clarification, obviously you did not teach at McKay and Vose when you were in Beaverton, because there is some poverty in the Beaverton School District. So anyway, but thank you guys, first of all, for what you do and for bringing forth the bill and telling us how important it is to all the kids. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, I close the work session on House Bill, which one is this? House Bill 4033. Okay, we don't need to read these over there. What we're going to do, just for announcements, you know, we don't work bills the day we get them, so we are going to carry over for a work session House Bill 4057 and also carry over House Bill 4033. Okay, any other questions for the good of the order? Have a good weekend. 1 week down, 3 weeks to go.
Thank you.
Or 4 weeks.
Or four. Yeah. Three would like.
Three or four. Just depending on how.
Three would like.
Three or four.
I'm betting it's four.
Depending on how
four.